Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. This morning we have celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. In just a few days, on the 25th of December, all around the world, people are going to be celebrating that day that happened approximately 2,000 years ago. Whereas the story was portrayed before us this morning, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world, born from the womb of a virgin to a woman named Mary, who was espoused to a man named Joseph. You heard the story being so well read all morning this morning. I heard someone say on the radio this week, as I was traveling and listening, someone was talking about the Christmas story and said there are 168 verses in all the Bible that record the birth of the Savior. Now, 168 sounds like a pretty good number. But if you take the 168 compared to all the verses that are in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that is a very small amount of Scripture that is dedicated to the birth of Christ. And yet how well we know that story. Those 168 verses are all found in Matthew chapter 1 and 2, and also Luke chapter 1 and most of chapter 2, all tell us about that event that happened 2,000 years ago. And as I heard the man say there were 168 verses that talked about the birth of Christ, I thought, well, I don't like to be disagreeable, but I must admit there are more verses than just those. One of those is the one we find here in Isaiah chapter 7, a verse all the way back in the Old Testament. Now, I'll give that teacher credit. I'm not trying to contradict him, but he was talking about those verses that actually record the birth of Christ. But let me show you a couple of them that prophesied the birth of Christ. And one of them is in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, a verse that we know so well this time of the year. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, God told the prophet Isaiah this, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." We read that verse so easily and so simply, "Behold, the Lord shall give you a sign." When the Lord gave signs in the Old Testament, they weren't just your everyday run-of-the-mill things. When God gave a sign, He was giving it to the nation of Israel to awake them out of their spiritual slumber. He did something monumentous. He did something large, something big. When He gave a sign, it wasn't just some small thing. It was a big deal. And here was a big deal. Because He said, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son." That had never been heard of before. That was a big sign. That has never been duplicated since. That is a big sign. And the Lord promised in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7 and verse 14, that He would do a wondrous thing by causing a woman to bring forth a child who had not known a man. Turn over just a page, page or two. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, another verse that speaks about the birth of Christ in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The Bible says here, Isaiah wrote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I focus on just the first part of that verse. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." I can't hesitate but say that colon that's at the end of the word "given" has a 2,000 year break in it before the rest of the verse. "The government shall be upon His shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." He was not called those things when He came the first time, but He will be called those things when He comes the second time. The government will be upon His shoulder. He shall be known as the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That speaks of His second coming. So in that one verse we have both His first coming and His second coming. And with His first coming, He said, "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." The prophecy of Isaiah was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. And oh, what a day it was, as we saw portrayed this morning. What a day it was when that verse was fulfilled. And Jesus Christ was born of Mary in Bethlehem's manger. And He came to be the Savior of the world. What a wonderful and exciting truth. The Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians takes another very exciting truth, the truth of the resurrection. This one, of course, happened 33 years after the birth of Christ. But after he'd been crucified and buried, the Bible tells us that on the third day he rose again. And there were many that doubted and questioned the resurrection, whether it was true, whether it was accurate, even though there were 500 witnesses at one time that saw it. People criticized it and doubted and questioned it, much like things are today in the realm of church, in the realm of the worship of God. There are multitudes that question it. And Paul said in his argument against it, if there be no resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. I'd like to take Paul's thought about the resurrection and apply it to the birth of Christ this morning for just a few minutes. If Christ had not been born, we would be miserable. If Christ had not been born, this world, folks, would be dark. I will confess to you that it's a dark world already. Immorality, wickedness, sinfulness, ungodliness. All of these things are around us all over the place. But it's nothing like it would be had Christ not been born. Without Christ, there'd be no Christmas. Now there would be a celebration. No doubt the world could celebrate without Christ. They don't need Christ to celebrate. Most of the things that they do are not related to Christ anyways. If there was no Christ, there'd be no Christmas. There'd be a celebration. There would still be giving of gifts. There would still be trees and decorations, even if Christ had never been born. There'd be no Christmas, but there probably still would have been a Santa. There would have been elves. There would have been a reindeer named Rudolph that ran over Grandma. There would be Frosty. There would be the Grinch. There would even be Ebenezer Scrooge. All those things could still be honored and celebrated at this time of season, even if Christ had never been born. But the world would be focused on superfluous things, secondary things, unnecessary things, if Christ had not been born. If he'd not been born, you could still sit down at this season and watch the miracle on 34th Street. If Christ had not been born, we would all still enjoy, and I enjoy it, It's a Wonderful Life, the greatest seasonal movie of all time. I'm not criticizing these things. My second great favorite movie of this time with Bing Crosby is White Christmas. But what I'm saying here, and you understand so clearly, is all of these things surround the celebration of this time of season, but none of them even remotely refer to Jesus Christ. Had he not been born, the world would go on and celebrate. They'd celebrate like it's any other holiday. It wouldn't matter to them. But do you realize that without Christ, there is no Christmas? The first six letters in Christmas are Christ. And that is, and I hate to use the cliche because I don't like to use cliche, but he is the reason for the season. And without him, we would be a dark world. Oh, there'd be tinsel and there'd be parades and there'd be celebrations without him, because there are those things going on now that never acknowledge him anyways. My challenge to you this morning, Christian, can you celebrate Christmas without Christ? Is he not to be the forefront? Is he not to be the reason? Is he not to be the celebration? We come together in a church on Sunday morning and we celebrate it. But you can drive through the neighborhoods and you can see all kinds of inflatable things here and there. And very rarely do you see something that really remembers why this season is here at all. It's here because of Christ. Had he not been born, there'd be no Christmas. I'll say this secondly. Had he not been born, there would be no Christians. Now that's an obvious truth. Christians are followers of Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who, those Christians in the Bible in Acts chapter 11 were so called in mockery, in derision. It was not a term that they wore proudly. They were called that in mockery because they were trying to imitate or live and look like Jesus Christ. And without his coming to the world, we'd have had no example to follow. We would not be able to live like Jesus Christ. So without him, there would be no Christians. Now, there'd still be religion. You could have religion without Jesus Christ. Judaism, Judaism is still waiting for the birth of that Messiah, not acknowledging that Jesus was that one. Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism, Islam, you name the religions, the Eastern religions of the world, and all those can go on celebrating. It doesn't matter whether Christ was born or not. It has no part in their celebration. If Jesus had not come, there'd be no Christianity, but there'd still be religion. There'd still be worship. People would be bowing down to stones and images carved from trees. They'd be worshiping snakes and water buffalo, as they do in many nations of the world today, with religions without Christ. Oh, Christ was the light of the world. Without Him, this world would be so utterly dark. What little we have of Christ in the world as a general is enough light to keep things going. But without Him, it would be utter darkness. There'd be no Christianity. There'd still be witch doctors. There'd be sorcerers. There'd be all kinds of counterfeiters. But there'd be no Christianity. What a sad world there'd be had Christ not come. You know, our very educational systems are based on Christianity. Most of you are familiar that at least here, especially here in America, in the early founding of our country, schools were held in church houses. Most of the time, their teachers were the reverends because they were the most highly educated among the people at the time and taught the young people until Sunday school teachers were trained enough to also become them. They used the McGuffey Reader, which was based on the Bible itself. And all of education in America is based on Christianity. Where would we be had it not been for that? And then missionaries from the United States have gone out throughout the world. And every place they go, they teach people to read. They teach them to write. They give them an education. They open up schools. That's what Christianity has contributed to the world. And there would be no Christianity if there had been no birth of Christ. Even our health care is dependent on Christianity. Many medical missionaries that have gone out through the world have introduced to people, I think of the Allens, our missionaries in Papua New Guinea, and the very interior of that place, opening up their health clinic. And as people came for health reasons, because they had no health aid out there, as they came for health reasons, they were also introduced to Jesus Christ. Not all of them received Him as Savior. Most of them did not. Most came just for the health care. But health care was given by missionaries, and this is repeated over and over and over again throughout the world, because Christianity introduced health care. The hospitals over there in Zanesville years ago, I know they've merged them now, but one used to be called Good Samaritan. I wonder where they got that title. That's from the Bible. The other hospital was Bethesda. In case you don't know, that's a pool for which Jesus went and healed a crippled man one time. That's from the Bible. You say, oh, but Good Samaritan's not there anymore, and Bethesda's by itself, so they've combined them. And what did they name them? Genesis Hospital Systems. Can I guarantee you that there was not a Christian person that sat down and conspired all that stuff? It's just a natural tendency because Christianity has introduced healthcare into the world. And everywhere you go, you see hospitals that were founded and started by someone with a Christian background. Oh, how dark the world would be. How hopeless and helpless the world would be if Christ had not been born. There'd be no Christmas. There'd be no Christianity. Thirdly, there'd be no church. There'd be no reason for us to be here this morning. The reason we're here is because Jesus Christ came. If we were still waiting and anticipating His coming as a future event, even for the first time, it would be so different. It would be so empty. We find the word church 117 times in the Bible, all of those in the New Testament, and all of those obviously after Jesus Christ came to the world, because before He came there was no need for a church. And had Jesus Christ not come, there'd be no churches now. Oh, there'd still be synagogues. There would be temples. There would be mosques. But there'd be no churches. It is a sad truth that as we go through Guernsey County and even through the state of Ohio, that many times you'll go on the back roads through places where churches have been closed and they've been shut down. But may I say, America is still the most churched nation in all the world. There are more churches active today than almost any other place you can go to. There's some other countries giving us a run for our money, as it were. But America is a church-based country. Imagine an America without churches. And there would be none if Jesus Christ had not been born. Now you understand, I know you do, those from Bible Baptist Church, a church is not a building made out of stone and mortar and windows and glass and all that. That's not what a church is in the Bible. The church is the group of people that meet in that location. You are the church. I are the church. We are the church. That's what the church is. And there would be no church if Jesus Christ had not been born. You and I would probably not know each other. Our paths would probably not cross. Oh, maybe one or two. Maybe just a few. But we have a common bond among all of us, from the youngest of us to the eldest of us. We have a common bond, and that bond is Jesus Christ. And because of Him, we have church. Because of Him, we come and listen to the Bible. Because of Him, we come and sing hymns. I am so thankful He was born. Because the world would be so empty had He never come. There would be no Christmas, no Christianity, no churches. And fourthly and lastly, there'd be no conversion. I want you to take your Bible. I know we haven't turned anywhere all this time, and that's unusual here, but I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. And I believe it was Brother Kevin that read this verse in the program this morning. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. If Christ had not come, no Christmas, no Christianity, no church, no conversion. Now, let me explain the word conversion very quickly, because it's so often misunderstood. Conversion is not just a changing of religion. Someone goes from being one denomination to another denomination, or Christianity to Islam, or vice versa, and somebody says, well, they've converted to this or that. Conversion is not a matter of changing religions. Conversion is a matter of the changing of the heart. And the only religion that can have a change of the heart in people is Christianity. Others might make a conversion story a change of religion, but it doesn't come from the heart, it comes from the outside. It's an outward changing. But conversion comes from inside. The Bible calls it salvation. So I could have said, no Christmas, no Christianity, no church, no salvation. But those of you that know me know I like to use alliteration, so I had to have a word that started with C, so I chose the word conversion. But by conversion, I mean simply this: salvation. If Jesus Christ had not been born, there would be no salvation. Look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. The promise given by the angel to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's the first time that name's introduced in the Bible. But remember back in Isaiah, he was called Emmanuel, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. But here in the manger, the angel told Joseph, I want you to call his name Jesus. We're going to talk about that name at Senior Saints Tuesday morning, so we'll not say a lot about it now. But I want you to notice this. That name Jesus means He shall save His people from their sins. Oh, thank God that Jesus was born in that stable, in that manger, in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Thank God He left heaven as the eternal Son of God, came down here, and the Bible says, took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And after teaching amazing things in words that people had never heard before, in working miracles that people had never seen before, His own people received Him not, but betrayed Him. One of His own disciples sold Him for 30 pieces of silver. The Romans took Him and they crucified Him, with the Jewish people saying, His blood be upon us and our children. And darkness overcame that place on Golgotha's hill for 3 hours as the Father turned His back on His only Son, and His Son had to cry out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? As He bore the sins of mankind on that cross. And salvation came to the world. You and I today can be saved because Jesus came into the world. We can have forgiveness of sins because Jesus came into the world. I'm always amazed and bewildered and saddened by folks that think that they can somehow make an entrance into heaven by something they can do themselves. Not recognizing it required God sending His Son and sacrificing His Son for you and I to ever be saved and go to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. And without the birth of Christ and the crucifixion of Christ and all the resurrection of Christ, we would be, of all men, most miserable. Without Christ, without His birth, no Christmas, no Christians, no church, no conversion. Conversion is recorded in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It couldn't happen if Christ had not come. My question for you this morning, every individual that's under the sound of my voice, my question for you this morning is simply this. Does it make a difference in your life? Has the coming of Christ to the world made a difference to you? Can you celebrate Christmas without Christ? Can you claim to be a Christian without Christ? Can you have a church without Christ? Have you experienced a conversion without Christ? Oh, if Christ had not been born, none of these things would be possible. But 2,000 years ago, the angels rejoiced. The shepherds bear witness. Mary and Joseph, not finding room in the inn, brought forth a son in a stable and laid him in a manger. And that baby was Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. Have you any room for Jesus?